From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The chief investment officer of CalPERS, the biggest pension fund in the country, is resigning at the end of the fiscal year in June. Russell Reed, according to a fund spokesman, wants to pursue his interest in environmental investing. When he steps down, he'll have been at the $244 billion pension fund for 2 years. The city of Oakland has filed a federal antitrust suit against several of the nation's largest financial institutions, including Bank of America, Bear Stearns, and J.P. Morgan. The suit alleges the companies conspired to pay artificially low interest rates to Oakland and other cities for what are called investment contracts. Cities put money in these contracts when they have bond funds they haven't spent yet. Oakland City Attorney John Russo says Oakland taxpayers have lost $500,000 since 1992 from illegally low interest rates, and he says the loss is much higher nationwide.
These banks and financial institutions rigged the bids and ripped off the taxpayers of tens of millions of dollars that should have been used to build schools, roads, and the things that our people need.
The Oakland lawsuit mirrors several filed by East Coast cities. A spokeswoman for Bank of America said the firm could not comment before reviewing the lawsuit. Imagine living in a community that helps you live longer. That's the concept behind a new housing development in the city of Chino, about 50 miles east of Los Angeles. Officials there have built a neighborhood they hope will encourage healthier lifestyle habits and in turn reduce the incidence of diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses. Reporter Sarah Varney has more.
Angelica Lusano is sitting on a swing in a brand new public park in Chino, watching her daughter and nephew bounce across a playground bridge. She moved here to the Preserve, Chino's newest development, last year with her husband and three children. Where Lusano used to live, she rarely let her children play outside. The air was heavy with smog, there were few parks, and the streets often turned into a battleground between local gangs.
Now we're living here, I don't worry about it. It's everything like safe. I don't feel any worriness for my kids. They could go anywhere around here. And sometimes when they're riding a bike, well, even though it gets dark, I don't have to worry about that because I know when they are not home, they're in the park.
Next to the park is a new K-8 school with a gymnasium that neighbors can use after school hours and gardens where school kids can learn about how their food is grown. All of this is just a short walk from Lusano's home. On weekend mornings, she and her husband sip coffee on their front porch and say hello to strolling families. These seem like common sense ideas, putting schools and parks in the middle of neighborhoods, building streets that invite walking, and homes that create social ties and make neighborhoods safer. But it also may be that these smart growth principles, as land use planners call them, are the most cost-effective way of preventing obesity.
It has the potential capacity to affect a lot of people. Much more than separate programs, much more than separate interventions.
Marianne Pence is a professor at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California and directs USC's Institute for Prevention Research. Pence received what public health researchers believe is the first grant awarded by the National Institutes of Health to evaluate whether a community based entirely on smart growth principles reduces a family's risk for obesity.
If you think of an example years ago, about introducing fluoride into water or inoculations for everyone. That's a large-scale effort that's had a huge impact on people, on whole populations. And in a similar way, looking at how you build out and make choices in during the planning process is an exciting way to affect and shift the health of an entire population.
Over the next 4 years, Pence will track 300 families that live in the preserve, a mix of moderate-income homeowners to low-income renters, and compare their physical activity and overall health to families that live nearby. The groups will be matched for age, race and ethnicity, education, income, and health status. Families will wear credit card-size activity monitors and global positioning units that will tell Pence when, where, and how the families are exercising. She'll take their weight, height, and waist measurement and survey for asthma, diabetes, and heart conditions. The hypothesis is those living in the preserve will become healthier than those stuck in nearby neighborhoods that were built more for cars than for people. Pence's preliminary research has already turned up what could be good news. The brand new preserve doesn't have any fast food outlets yet. Without the lure of the Golden Arches right around the corner, families say they're eating healthier meals at home. But at this point, it's worth considering how the world of the preserve meshes with the world in the rest of Chino. The city is a leader in the movement to bring public health into its decisions about land use, education, and transportation. The school district pulled soft drinks long before state law required it to do so. But on Chino's boulevards, says the city's mayor, Dennis Yates, fast food joints flourish like they do everywhere else in America.
Our largest eatery in sales in the whole city of Chino, believe it or not, and we have some nice restaurants, is McDonald's on Central Avenue. And you know what number two is in our city? In-N-Out Burger. That's
it. The tax dollars from McDonald's and the rest are good for this city. But since fast food is cast as a villain in our national obesity epidemic, shouldn't the city be concerned about it?
But I thought one of the ideas with having a healthy element in your general plan was to
absolutely
say, yes, that's great, they make a lot of money, but it's not consistent with this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'll go back to this. This isn't communist China.
And families in the preserve don't live in a bubble. Like many across the state, parents here are harried by the day-to-day realities of life.
Someone working in L.A. or Orange County, you know, it takes them an hour and a half to get home by the time they pick up the kids from the babysitters or whatever program they're in. And they get home at 6 or 6:30 at night, and they're exhausted. They're stressed out for driving the freeways. And it's just easier to stop by a fast food joint, give the kids some French fries and a cheeseburger and a Coke, and here, eat this and go to bed.
What's clear is even with the preserve's commitment to creating a healthier way to live for its residents, the bigger health issues we face can't be solved one subdivision at a time. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
That's the California Report for Thursday, April 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California. On the web at calhospitalcompare.org. And OSH, Complete Home and Garden, offering service and selection to Californians for over 75 years. Ideas, tips, and solutions at osh.com.